If you see something out there that your fellow commuters should know about, be sure to give us a call at 475-1080. Here's something you should know about. I have some Tangy Tangerine here at the radio station available for purchase, as well as a blood sugar pack and a brain and heart pack. I will be here until 6 p.m. in case you want to stop by and purchase one of those. Coming up next, it is time for Community Matters. Becky Steinbruner is your host.
Opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of KSCO staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please let us know by writing to us at comments@ksco.com.
Good afternoon. It is a beautiful day out there, so I hope you get out and enjoy it. I'm Becky Steinbruner, and I'm honored to be your host here for the next hour with Community Matters. My goal is to give you information to help you learn more about local matters and to inspire you to get involved to whatever degree you want or can do. So today, usually I talk about the battery energy storage issue that is a big deal in our county. I'm going to take a bit of a divergence from that, but this discussion is related to the local battery energy issue because in Watsonville at 90 Minto Road, there is a large battery energy storage project, about 300 metal containers filled with flammable explosive lithium batteries is being reviewed for permit right now by the state, and it would go in the middle of a large apple orchard at 90 Minto Road. So today we're going to be talking with a well-known local fruit grower, Mr. Freddie Menge, who is one of my favorite people on the planet. I will say that. And we're going to be talking about the status of apple growing, agriculture, maybe in general. And this kind of comes to light in the discussion about what has happened recently with Martinelli, our over 100-year-old cider press in Watsonville, saying they would no longer honor contracts for apple growers in the Pajaro Valley. Now, I have some updates on that, too, but I want to get to our guest, Freddie Menge. I'll read a little bit once I bring Freddie on the line. This statement that was issued by the PIO for Martinelli on behalf of Mr. Gunn Reuter, president and CEO of Martinelli. But I want to hear now from my good friend and wonderful horticulturist, Freddie Menge. Hello, Freddie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Becky. Hi, nice to hear your voice.
Oh, excellent. Great to hear you. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. You are a busy guy, so thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I just took my knee pads off. I was putting a new floor in a cabin. And here I am. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
But more important matters, yeah.
Always there are things to triage, aren't there? Well, yep. Freddie, thank you. Let me have you first introduce yourself and what you do here in Santa Cruz County. You've been doing amazing things.
Well, I don't know about amazing, but and as far as Martinelli, this whole issue, personally, I stay as far from that end of the apple growing industry as I possibly can get. I'm a specialty small orchardist. I have an acre and a half orchard that I grow exclusively kind of European style apple, which means an apple that's got sugar. It's got some acidity, it's got aromatics, and it's got other flavor components. It's not a Fuji or a Gala that's very simple in taste. And I do that to pretty much to differentiate myself from the whole rest of the market. The commercial apple market has gone to kind of a single flavor profile that you pretty much name it, except for maybe Pink Lady is got some acidity. Honeycrisp has very little, but some. But, you know, the apple market is trying to get inoffensive apples, and I'm trying to find apples that are really, really good. So in that vein, I've been growing, collecting apples since probably 1995. My commercial orchard went in 2005. I was selling to exclusively to restaurants until COVID, and then I got into the farmers market. So I sell at the West Side Santa Cruz Farmers Market on Saturdays starting in September. So we go September through December. But yeah, I sell weird apples, European style apples, red fleshed apples, apples that I've collected from other apple collectors, apples that I've found in abandoned orchards around the county, apples that I've bred myself over the last 20 years, trying to cross red fleshed apples with exceptional quality eating apples. And I do that all kind of in conjunction with the California Rare Fruit Growers, the local Monterey Bay chapter. I'm really active in it, and their mission is basically to disseminate better fruit so people can grow really high quality fruit in their backyards and not have to resort to Fujis and Mutsus, even though, you know, those are nice, but it's one flavor profile.
Yeah.
So here we are talking about Martinellis. I know a little bit about the subject, but, you know, I'm not an expert.
Well, I know that you have a whole different niche in the market, but what I want to discuss with you today is what are the challenges to apple growers, large and small, in the county? Let me read this statement that Martinelli sent on behalf of the president and CEO, Mr. Gunn Reuter. And I'm quoting, "Since 1968, S. Martinelli and Company has been inextricably linked to the Pajaro Valley and its people, and that will never change. While we cannot discuss our sourcing strategy or internal operations practices as a business, we are constantly evolving to ensure that only the highest quality fruit bears the name Martinelli's, including the planting of 250 local acres of apples over the past decade. While most growers continue to meet those quality standards, there have been situations where fruit quality has not been consistently met the same level required for Martinelli's brand. After years working with our growers to support improvements that will help them to meet those quality expectations, there have been instances where we have had to make the decision not to renew some contracts in the future. However, all local growers are able to sell their apples to Martinelli's on a non-contract basis, assuming that they meet quality standards. Rest assured, our long-term commitment to growing and sourcing apples in the Pajaro Valley continues." End of quote. So
yeah.
What caught my attention there was that the quality hasn't been what they
Me
want.
Too. He used that word about 8 or 9 times. What does that mean exactly? And which quality is he referring to?
Yeah, always kind of thought juicing apples were akin to ketchup tomatoes, and the fruit doesn't have to be perfect for that use.
Yes, right. Yeah, and I think that's traditionally been, it used to be groundfall, but you know, they stopped doing that years ago. They don't want to introduce whatever bacteria, but I think there's something to that, because I believe that Martinelli's eliminated their trim line in their processing, in their juice plant, or cut it way back. So they used to run the apples in 1,000-pound bins, dump them across a conveyor belt, and there'd be a line of workers grabbing things that looked bad and pulling them off and trimming them. And that would go on into the juicing process. That's labor-intensive. That's been cut, I believe, according to my sources.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that saved them some money. And in addition, the apple industry has moved to Washington. The eastern Washington is really cheap land, cheap water, cheap electricity. And, it's a cheap place to grow an apple. And most of the commercial eating apples are grown up there. The packing houses there have a certain amount of cullage that they pull off of those lines, and that is the stuff that, you know, it's cosmetic or some defect, that goes into the trucks that basically bring the fruit down here to Santa Cruz, and they can do that cheaper than to buy local Newtown pippins from local Watsonville orchards.
So, isn't that amazing with the price of fuel and everything? It's
amazing, and I would like to hear. I mean, that I think statement that you just read is a little bit of a pushback to what people are, is a pushback to what I just said,
right?
And what people have assumed that they're cutting out. I mean, Martinelli's leases a lot of acreage in the valley. They have long-term contracts, 14-year, 30-year, 20-year contracts with big apple growers that they can't easily get out of. But for the small apple growers without long-term contracts, they're cutting those because they can, because they're easy. And there's been a bunch of, the Mann family has been given notice that they're going to be cut, and they call it quality issues. That's what they refer to. But, I believe maybe the quality that they're referring to is the profitability mm-hmm. quality, that it just costs them more. And doesn't cost them a lot to buy apples from Watsonville, and from these growers that the Manns say they sell their apples for $400 a ton.
Yeah,
that's 20 cents. Is that 20 cents a pound? If my math is correct, that's nothing. That's incredible. That's jaw dropping for me that these guys can actually they are pruning their trees. They're picking. They're irrigating. They irrigate once a year, right? Those apple trees go out. If berries go in, berries are irrigating every 2-3 days, right?
Right.
So they're irrigating once a year with these old trees. These old trees are sequestering carbon. They've got massive root systems. There are wildlife refuges. There's foxes, owls, Cooper's hawks, jackrabbits, living
yeah.
and reproducing in these old orchards. So when those lose their, just that even super meager viability, $400 a ton, that's crazy. And, okay, and Martinelli's also offers that, oh, yeah, we'll drop your contract. We won't renew your contract. But if you want to bring your apples in and sell them to us off contract, we're happy to buy them. We'll still buy them from you. But when they buy apples from people off contract, they pay $150 a ton.
Oh, wow.
It's just not even worth the gas to drive them in. There was an article that John Martinelli wrote in 2013 or so. It was quite a while ago, but he really talked about terroir. He talked about the Newtown pippin apple, which mm-hmm. is the foundational orchard apple in Watsonville. It was the apple that basically started the orchard, basically the apple rush in the 1870s in Watsonville. They found that they could grow this amazingly good apple. It was, it was an apple that everyone wanted. Everyone tried to grow on the East Coast, but with the summer rains and the freezes, it was an early bloomer, and so you'd lose the bloom half the time, it was a tough cropper. But out here in the Pajaro Valley, they found they could grow perfect Newtown pippins. The railroads came through in 1869. They were shipping, they experimented, shipped barrels of Newtown pippins and bellflowers back east, and people were like, oh my god, that's the most beautiful, that's a beautiful apple. They were shipping freighter containers back to the East Coast. It was a huge thing, and the orchards carpeted the valley, and they were growing the Newtown pippin pretty much exclusive with the bellflower, I guess, which is an older, also good eating apple. And they were shipping them to England.
Wow.
It built Watsonville, and it's a fabulous apple. It stands up to, you know, it's considered one of the fine connoisseur apples of all time when picked fully ripe in good condition. Generally for juice or when you see it in the stores, it's grass green. It's picked about a month under ripe because you pick it at that point and you can knock it around quite a bit. And for cider, I don't really know when they pick it, but when it's picked in November after a frost has hit it, late November, it's got some color on it, starts to get a little streaky with pink, maybe even purple. It yellows and it's maybe a little water core. It's a fabulous eating apple that it was, I think, you know, England is famous for their apple culture, the Coxorange Pippin, the famous dessert apples coming from England. Queen Elizabeth's favorite apple was the Newtown Pippin. And she made a special cutout for, tariff law that allowed Newtown Pippins to be imported into England duty-free.
Wow.
You know, just because it was so good and they wanted them.
Yeah.
So anyway, this statement from this guy, you know, the current president, is a huge backing away from John Martinelli's stance of saying, hey, the Newtown Pippin is what we built our juice around, our cider. Our cider is distinctive because we use this apple with the distinctive, powerful flavor. It's got pine-like flavor. It's got acidity and aromatics in addition to sugar. It's not just saccharin. And yeah, it makes a very good juice. It makes a very good cider, hard cider. This new statement is a subtle backing away from that position, saying, yeah, it's more about quality, you know. Yeah. It's about, yeah, you know, we can we find the quality of profitability more important than the quality of
yeah. Freddie, we've got to take a break here. Okay. Please hold with us, and listeners, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Freddie Manch, a wonderful apple grower in the Pajaro Valley. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Duncan McCollum, and I have this amazing patient, Gaylene, here, who walked into our office, well, barely walked into our office.
Hardly able to walk and bent over. And within three visits, I was standing up straight, walking. I couldn't believe it. That's never happened to me before. It's been a very rough road, but we're getting there, and I'm very grateful.
And you had two back surgeries as well, right?
Yes, I did. Yep, in 1995, yeah.
And so they didn't really solve your problem?
No, they didn't.
And you came in, we did some stem cell treatments on you and some chiropractic on you, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so you're happy.
I'm happy. Everyone here is just awesome. They're all here to help you. They're all so sweet.
You should listen to Gaylene, see if we can help your health.
That's right. Anyone that needs help, please come in.
Thank you.
My name is Dean Sutton. I'm a lawyer, a real estate lawyer. I've been in practice for 40 years in Santa Cruz and Santa Clara County. I go to court, go to trial. We handle and resolve questions and problems concerning primarily real estate. Buy, sell, lease, evict, foreclose, boundary lines, disputes about ownership, possession, roommates, all those kinds of problems that we work with. We have a call-in talk show, Law of the Land, on KSCO. You get a chance to talk to a lawyer. Give me a call. I'm a lawyer, but you can like me anyway.
Call Dean on Fridays at 3 p.m.
This just in, Fridays at 6 p.m., it's Bratton on KSCO. Each week, local bloggers, community activists, and contributors to local news sources join the conversation to discuss the issues affecting Santa Cruz County and the Central Coast. Different guests, different viewpoints, and plenty of discussion about the policies, projects, and decisions shaping the community around us. Bratton on KSCO, Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. on KSCO and KOMY.
This is AM 1080, KSCO.
And welcome back to Community Matters. I'm your host, Becky Steinbruner, and I have the honor of having a guest, Mr. Freddie Manch. I'll just speak a little bit about today's Bratton on KSCO at 6 o'clock. It will be today hosted by Gray Hayes, and you are in for a treat. He is an environmental professor at UCSC with a broad knowledge of environmental issues, and you want to hear what he has to say tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, well, let's get back to our discussion with you, Freddie. I looked up the many people don't maybe are not aware of how important agriculture is to our county's economy in a lot of ways. But the 2024 Santa Cruz County Crop Report is a very interesting document. It's available online. You can get it at the Ag Commissioner's Office at the new Watsonville South County Center at 500 Westridge Road. But for apples, even though it says the acreage from 23 to 24 went down by about 100 acres, the value that has come in to the county in 2024 went up by a substantial amount, $2 million, $13,321,000 for apples alone. There are other crops, wine grapes, avocados, one of your favorites, and then there are the vegetable crops and the nursery crops. It is a very large economic driver in our county, so it's important that we pay attention to what's going on in our agricultural lands. Freddie, I again want to thank you for taking time. You've got a farmer's market tomorrow, and here you are.
No, I don't sell at the farmer's market until September. I'm taking care of all the other things I have to do when I'm not selling at the farmer's market.
Oh, good. All right. I've helped prepare for farmer's market, and I know what a frantic day it is before that.
I have to weed, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you. So you have been growing kind of for the specialty market.
Yeah.
And you gave us a beautiful history of the importance of apples in Santa Cruz County. I want to expand that a little bit up to Aptos. There was a huge apple growing push there when Frederick Heen kind of ran out of trees to cut down.
Right,
and
right.
He developed...
They clear cut the redwoods and, you know...
Right.
Didn't they? Yeah.
So that still has its remnants in Aptos, where in the Aptos village, there's their famous packing barn, the Apple Barn, there that is now the New Leaf Market in the Aptos Village project. But
right. And behind that barn where the new townhouses are, there was a giant apple drying shed. And that accounted for a lot of the apple produce coming in, and a huge portion of the apple crop went to dried apples that were sold nationally.
That's right. That was the Lamb Madison apple dryer.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
was an incredible piece of history itself. It was at the time when Chinese were not allowed to own property, Ralph Madison brought in as a partner Lam Pon, and the two of them created this business, the dryers, and worked it. And Lam Pon is the great-grandfather, I believe, of George Au. So it all starts in apples.
Interesting.
So tell us a little bit about how you got interested in growing apples and your farming. We do have whom I believe to be another small apple grower on the line if you want to take calls or no.
Sure, I'll take a call, yeah.
Okay, first I want to have you talk a little bit about how you got interested in apples and growing food.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can go back that far. My parents had an acre. I grew up on a piece of land. I, you know, lived there my entire childhood, and we had a Red Delicious, a Golden Delicious, and a Pippin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had three apple trees. And my neighbors had a Gravenstein, and my other neighbor had a Bellflower. And so, and we would walk up to the fishing hole above on White Road, and there were abandoned apple trees in the brush, in the oak, among the oak trees on the hillside. They were, had been orchards 50 years previous, but there were still apples in there, still producing. So we would be up there in the summertime, and there'd be apples up there, and we were starving. We would pick these green apples and eat them, whatever, in whatever condition, you know. And I just had grew up just immersed in apples. I lived on apples when as a kid. That was our snack. Mm. But I think later on, you know, I got interested in foraging and mushroom hunting, and I would again out in these abandoned places encounter abandoned apple orchards that on Calabasas Road, on Larkin mm-hmm. Valley Road, in the woods, growing untended, making huge crops of fruit. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking to myself, well, look at this. No one's touched this for 50 years, and here it is with 150 pounds of beautiful fruit. That's the crop I want to grow. I want to grow that. And, you know, and so I started to really take an interest. A friend of mine's dad bought a piece of land out off Green Valley Road toward the end, and they were going to ride their motorcycles out there. And they were riding their motorcycles out there in the springtime, and they noticed the brush had flowers on it, and they couldn't figure out what the flowers were. And they realized they were apple trees, and they wow. cleared the brush away, and they found out that they had bought an apple orchard. And this is Ken Fendorf. He was an anesthesiologist at Dominican for years. He went in and cleared it and bought apple trees, heirloom apple trees from South Meadow Antique Apple Farm in Michigan, I believe. And he had golden russet, Coxhorn's Pippin, Calva Blanc, you know, all these apples that they're world famous connoisseur varieties that you never see in markets or anywhere. But as a young man in my 20s, his son, you know, and I would go out there and you know, I would hang out and we would look at these apple trees and taste the different apples, and they were just amazing. They were super good. And I had learned how to graft when I was like 15 years old. So mm-hmm. I grafted all those varieties onto my, you know, house and yard. And I had 25 varieties of apples until I started, you know, I joined the California Rare Fruit Growers organization in the early 90s. And I thought, oh, I've got 25 varieties of apples. I'm cool. And you know, there was Gene Lester who had 500 varieties of apples. There was Joe Stabile had 200. You know, they had just, you know, huge, real sincere collections over a long period of time. And I was this kind of little nymph, you know, little small fry. And I thought, wow, there's a lot. And so I had the benefit of tasting Orrin Martin's collection, going through Orrin Martin's collection, tasting his apples, tasting Joe Stabile's apples, tasting Gene Lester's apples, Jim Ryder's collection, and I formed preferences, and I decided that there were certain varieties that, certain flavor profiles that I really loved, and I loved this, you know, I thought, this is an apple, the Carmine de Sonneville, the Spitzenberg, the Cox's Orange Pippin, the Cava Blanc, these are apples that you never see. And I thought, well, why are people buying and selling and growing really boring apples like the Gala? And, I mean, excuse me, the Fuji is a nice apple. It doesn't get mushy, so it's fine, but it's very plain. And if you eat one next to a Carmine de Sonneville, you cannot finish it. It's impossible to, you know, to not be blown away by the comparison with a really full flavored apple. So I thought, I'm just going to grow more of those good apples. And I did. And I started having too many, selling them at restaurants locally and propagating trees. And eventually I had propagated too many trees and I needed a place to plant them. And I made an arrangement with the Hart family in Watsonville, and they let me plant my trees out there. And I planted 400 trees out there and started, you know, being a commercial apple grower, kind of backwards. I didn't really plan on it so much as I was too sort of enthralled with this to know my boundaries. And yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful story. And, and it's wonderful that you're doing something that you love and fits your passions. That means a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of it's a moving target too, you know, because you get bored with even a great apple, you know, you kind of grow it for 10 years. And it's like, yeah, I've tasted that. But it's like, okay, but what if this Carmine de Sauniville, what if this apple had more berry flavor and a red flesh? And what if I could cross these red fleshed apple with this great British dessert apple and get an apple that was even more interesting? And so that's kind of where I've gone to. And that, I mean, to be honest, that's really what makes it interesting, is I've got my little breeding. It's a little amateurish breeding program where I intentionally pollinate certain great textured, great flavored British dessert apples with red fleshed apple, and get the seeds, grow them out, wow, wait for them to fruit, and out of 100 of them, 10 might be pretty damn good. Wow. So, you know, so it's like, oh, and one or two might be amazing. And so that's what I'm kind of really like keyed up on, is the, you know, all the new apples that are coming kind of one by one, just sputtering out of my little program. I've got three apples now, three new ones that I have never sold before. I'll be selling this year at the farmer's market that I'm super excited about, because, you know, because they have great texture as well as great flavor and red flesh color, red color. So,
wow.
So, that's exciting. That makes it fun. So I kind of step back and I think, God, what if I were growing galas? You know, I would never be able to weed those long rows or whatever. Why bother?
How long anyway do you have to wait from the time you plant an apple seed before the tree that comes from that seed produces fruit?
Great question. Yeah, I've done it. I started in 2005. I started regularly planting little batches of seeds. And so I've got some trees from that planting in 2005 that are yet to bear fruit.
Oh, wow.
They have not yet borne fruit in 21 years.
Wow.
And I had other varieties in 5 years bear fruit. So between 5 and 15 years, I'd say, is common. But lately I've been grafting them onto the very young seedlings, the succulent little four-month-old seedlings that are a foot tall. I'll graft those onto dwarfing rootstock, and that accelerates their passing through juvenility and into maturity and fruit bearing. And so I can get fruit in the third year, and often the third, and always by the fourth year. So still it's a long time, but not 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to have bragging rights about what a wonderful apple that you have to sell.
People get to grow it. I share the wood with the California Rare Fruit Growers, but I get a head start. I know it for 5 years before anyone cares about it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's wonderful. I want to make sure that you have some time to talk about the California Rare Fruit Growers. Tell
us a little
bit about
it. Does someone want to talk to me? Does someone want to ask a question?
Do you want to take a break and from our discussion and bring her on?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that then. Hello, can you hear us?
I can, Becky. Can you hear me?
I can. Why don't you tell us your name?
This is Carell Reeder, and from Coralitas. And I just want to start off by saying, Freddie, thank you so much for sharing your story and your passion. And I know our paths have only, you know, halfway crossed through people we know in common, like the Mans and some of the hard cider people. But I just really enjoyed you telling your story and your passion, because it parallels mine, and apples are kind of my passion too. So we grow out here in Coralitas.
Great. What do you grow?
Well, my family's been here since 1880. And we were the Silvas. We're one of the branches of the many apple-growing Silva families.
Yeah, okay.
So we inherited about 10 apple-growing acres. And you'll love it, because my uncle planted, and they're mainly Fujis and Galas.
Uh-huh. I put my foot in that one, didn't I?
No, it's okay. It's okay because we inherited it about 12 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And we started planting Newtown pippins specifically for Martinelli's.
Oh, wow.
And we were, you know, we were super excited to be growers for them. And we're ripping all of those Newtown pippins practically out now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We kind of saw some of the writing on the wall. I know John really well, and I love the Martinelli family. I worked for them in the offices for like 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay. The most darling, wonderful people, just totally was there, I think, during some of the most wonderful years when it was still a small company.
Yep.
And just was there when John brought out that how much he loved the Newtown pippins. He wanted another 1,000 acres of apples grown in this valley.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was absolutely stunned when the news came out.
Yeah.
That was nothing I expected. It was good that we had kind of seen the writing on the wall, and our operation's a little bit unique. A lot of the old trees are standards, which if people don't know, those are trees that grow, 30 feet tall, and you have to have a big tall ladder to get an apple.
Big
old trees.
2x2s. Yeah.
But my uncle had planted semi-dwarfs, which makes moving into a U-pick situation and a better labor situation, because sometimes it's hard to get pickers to go up those ladders with 30-pound bags of
and pruners,
apples.
And if you're thinning, it's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've ripped out a bunch of trees that have aged out and a bunch of new towns that now we just don't think we can obviously market to Martinelli's anymore. We'll still have a few for hard cider people. We don't do the farmers markets. It's just too much for us to be loading up and hauling out.
It's a lot.
It was but I absolutely love
hard cider. What are the hard cider people? Is it Nicole and Santa Cruz Cider Company or?
Yep. Nicole is like part of our family. Love her and her sister.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt. You brought up the hard cider. How big is that industry in Santa Cruz County?
It's picking up, I'd say, Freddie? And it's boutique-y, though. Kind of a boutique-y, small, specialty kind of thing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't probably just grow for them.
Yeah, I think there's too much acreage to really expect them to soak up that much of it. But I think Jake Mann works with Santa Cruz Cider, and then Tanuki Cider is another producer. And I know they have a tasting room. Like Santa Cruz Cider has a tasting room, in the airport or on Hangar Way.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Tanuki Cider has a tasting room out by New Leaf, out on the far end of Mission. It's next door to Santa Cruz Mountain Winery or something.
Right. Rob is also a sweetheart.
What's that?
Rob, who runs Tanuki, is also a sweetheart.
Some
of the best, hardworking, down-to-earth people you could ever deal with. I know you might want to tell a little bit more, so I'll just kind of wrap up with one more thing that I've picked up over the last month. I do a lot of research on the internet. Oh, by the way, Becky, speaking of which, there was a 3.0 earthquake right underneath 90 Middle Road today.
Oh.
Just in case you were interested. But when I was researching on the internet, I just ran across an article coming out of Washington State. And this is relevant because we know a lot of Martinelli's apples come down in 40,000-pound trailers out of Washington now. That's going to be their main sourcing. But the growers up there, a lot of them are going under because of an important thing. Washington State passed a mandatory overtime pay law. Now, when you're an apple grower, you have to harvest when you have to harvest, right? You've got contracts. you've got fruit that's ripening on the tree, you don't want it to fall. You have to bring in crews, and sometimes they'll come at 6 in the morning when it's cool, and they'll work till 6:30, 7:30 at night, and right. they'll take breaks, hopefully, in there. Well, nobody had to pay overtime before this law, and now the growers are absolutely fried because they can't do piecework. I have family that picks, and we have the U-pick, so it's not really affecting anything here in California for us personally, but in Washington, these guys are going under. And when they're only getting 100-something-ish a ton,
right?
They're never going to recover their labor costs. So we've heard, and I'd love to hear from somebody from up there in Washington, we've heard that a lot of them are just letting their fruit drop. Wow. They're like, we're done. We're done.
Oh my God.
We can't pay our labor. This is, you know, we're going under quick. We're done. So I'm sure there will be massive changes. You know, there'll be consolidations, and maybe they'll try to find other markets. But Martinelli's now has tied themselves pretty much exclusively to Washington. And if these guys can't make it, I guess they're going to have to go to some sort of system where they bring in concentrate from China or something. I really wonder if Gunn has given this his full... I'm sure he's smart and brilliant and everything, but
we've got to take a break here. I'm worried too. And Carell, I want to thank you for calling in with this good information. We've got to take a little break now, and then Freddie, I want you to tell us more about the California rare fruit growers and what you're doing to make a wonderful go of it here in the county.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Carell, for calling in.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
Carell. We'll be right back after the break.
The Ramsey Show.
We had filed bankruptcy back in 2019, and now we are back in debt again for a sum of about $118,000, not including my mortgage. There's a lot of things that I've done that my husband's not aware of. We are the poster child of trying to impress people. We put on this front, and I just want to get out of this cycle because I'm done.
Dave Ramsey, Monday through Thursday, noon till 2, KSEO KOMY.
My name is Dean Sutton. I'm a lawyer, a real estate lawyer. I've been in practice for 40 years in Santa Cruz and Santa Clara County. I go to court, go to trial. We handle and resolve questions and problems concerning primarily real estate. Buy, sell, lease, evict, foreclose, boundary lines, disputes about ownership, possession, roommates, all those kinds of problems that we work with. We have a call-in talk show, Law of the Land, on KSCO. You get a chance to talk to a lawyer. Give me a call. I'm a lawyer, but you can like me anyway.
Call Dean on Fridays at 3 p.m.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and like listen. I just want someone to yap to. And I just feel like I'll be fine, like, if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think I tell you that enough. And I know sometimes we get into it, and it's just hard on both of us. But, you know, try to understand me more, and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is KSEO, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas.
And welcome back to Community Matters. I'm Becky Steinbruner. We've got about 10 minutes left here. My guest today is Mr. Freddie Menge, a wonderful apple grower, horticulturist in Santa Cruz County. I just want to add one tidbit of information that I recently learned regarding apple growing support. It used to be that the UC Ag Extension office had someone to assist growers with cultivation pest problems. Santa Cruz County no longer has an apple growing expert for the Ag Extension office. That's a little telling, isn't it? Makes me worried. So where do you go, Freddie, when you have questions or you want to sound something off of people? Maybe that's the California Rare Fruit Growers.
Yeah, well, maybe I go to Jim Ryder and ask him. He's a fifth generation apple grower who's got a master's in pomology from Cornell, and he's just a great guy. But the California Rare Fruit Growers it's like an avid little underground network of fruit enthusiasts and people who are just wanting to become fruit enthusiasts, people who have been to our Wilder Ranch. We have an apple tasting. We put on an apple tasting every year. Wilder Ranch, it's the second weekend or something, third weekend of October, the 17th or something. And we usually feature 75 varieties of locally grown apples, different varieties. We include the Fuji, the Mutsu, the Cosmic Crisp. We buy the Cosmic Crisp, but pretty much everything else is grown locally. But, you know, there's this huge array of, you know, this whole flavor spectrum, color spectrum. It attracts 500 to 700 people, and they come and taste them, and people are generally blown away and come out with a comment like, I never realized apples could taste like this. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought an apple was just like a marshmallow or something that's crunchy.
Red delicious.
Right. Yeah. So people get jazzed, and they come to our Scion Exchange, which is a January event that we have. And in that event, a scion is a little stick that you can graft onto an existing tree. You know, you can take an apple scion, a stick, and graft it onto another apple tree. You can take a pear scion, graft that to a pear tree. So we teach grafting. We offer scion wood from about 600 different varieties of fruit. So huge variety of apples, pears, apricots, peaches, plums. There's persimmons, cherries, there's pomegranates, there's fig varieties for rooting, there's mulberries. So, and there's people there. There's the whole, it shakes all the characters out of the woods, and people who have been growing things, you know, who've experienced growing some of these varieties for 30 years, 40 years, come down. And so a newbie can walk through and kind of say, well, what do I need? And somebody can tell them, if you're going to grow a peach, grow a Babcock peach because it'll fruit for you every year and it's delicious. Grow a Spice Z Nectoplum. It's amazing. Grow a Lapin's cherry, but don't try a Bing unless you really know you can grow cherries. You know, so there's a lot of mistakes, you know, or so-called mistakes that you can make. But the Rare Fruit Growers is a pretty good little network that we basically share the dope on what works and what doesn't work, based on not AI information, but actual lived experience here in this county.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty rare resource, and I think it's super worth supporting. And if you're, you know, at all into fruit or, you know, into eating well, then it's worth exploring.
Yeah. Tell us how we can learn more about the California Rare Fruit Growers Association.
I think there's a website that's easily accessible at mbcrfg.org, and that's the place to start. And I think you get on that website, and there's usually a listing of events, and that'll give you the time and place of some of the things. And some of the other events that we have, for instance, we have that Scion Exchange I told you about, where we have 600 varieties of scion wood and cutting material, different fruit varieties. So a month later, we have a grafting workshop where we actually have a hands-on workshop with rootstocks and show you how to hold a knife, what a knife looks like, how to seal it, how to wrap it, how to do it. And so people take that class, you take that class and you know how to graft. And so then you get to practice. Later on in the year, we often have a citrus grafting workshop, which is a little bit different from dormant grafting. The regular grafting workshop is a dormant grafting workshop, so it'll be apples and pears primarily. But then later on in the year, we'll have a greenwood grafting workshop, which it could be a citrus, could be feijoa, could be sapote, chirimoya, avocado, something like that. We try to rotate it over the years to get some, it's the same operation to graft pretty much any of the green wood type, non-dormant type fruits, but there's tricks involved. So we sort of teach you the tricks and talk about varieties and things. And then later in the season, there's tastings in the, often a garden tour in the summer. There's there's
lots
we're talking
of things
about for next,
happening.
Yeah.
It's active,
for next summer,
an active
we're
group.
Actually planning, next summer we're planning on having an avocado palooza. We haven't really figured out what we're going to call it, but it's going to be a full day of avocado talks, grafting workshop, maybe limited tours of plantings and talk. We're going to have lectures on, really how to site an avocado, how to deal with what kind of soil it needs to have, how to plant it, how to grow it, how to prune it. We're going to have a tasting, we believe, with maybe 40 varieties of avocado.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's just going to be just...
We'll have to have you back. We'll have to have you back. We've got just three minutes, and we've got one person that's been waiting. Can I bring that person on?
Yeah.
Okay, Kirill, I might lose you. I see you're holding, but I might lose you. Hello, caller. You've got a couple of minutes. Go ahead, and thanks for calling.
Hey, great talk. And, I always thought that the Pajaro Valley in Santa Cruz County really needs to have, an agricultural center. Like maybe down on Riverside Drive where there's that old abandoned farmhouse where tourists come
to town. Yeah, the Redmond House, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Agricultural museum.
Yeah,
but tourists coming through because they're on their way to Carmel and Monterey and wherever where they could stop. And there'd be sampling of stuff that was sold in the store and then tours you could go and,
I think that's a great idea. I'm trying to save that house legally, so we'll have to put our heads together here. I have your phone number.
I think the Land Trust is working, the Santa Cruz Land Trust is working on something like that out on Lee Road, really.
Oh, nice.
Well, I think it should really promote, all this local art, agriculture that we have. And,
Caller, we've only got 1 minute left, and I want to make sure that I give Freddie the chance to wrap up. Do you have a quick question?
I don't know. I'm just an enthusiastic supporter of this stuff,
and
I'm always amazed how hardy apple trees are because, I've stumbled across them everywhere in Southern California, in the Hills area, in Arizona, They're bearing fruit, and they've been untended for decades. They're just amazing fruit tree.
Caller,
really
I'm going to give the floor to Freddie. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Freddie, thank you so much for taking time. What do you want to leave with the listeners as we sign off?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought of a concluding statement. But I really feel like come to some of the California Rare Fruit Growers events. Come to the Wilder Ranch Apple Tasting.
And you're at the Saturday Farmers Market in September.
Well, yeah, that's true. You could come to my little Apple Farmers Market stand on the west side. It's on the west side.